Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in light of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. For the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? After the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
I believe you are.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord God. You are here. I believe that you are listening. I believe that you move at the sound of my voice. I believe that you are right with me. Give me dove's eyes. Good evening, good evening, and good evening. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Light of Portland broadcast. I am Pastor Sherelle Pennington. We are live here in Atlanta, Georgia, and it is an honor and a privilege to be with you tonight. I give God glory, honor, and praise. He is such a wonderful, awesome Father, such a wonderful and awesome God. And I just give him all the glory, honor, and praise. I thank God that you're here with us tonight. I thank God that a wonderful God, I thank God that he's got grace, favor, and mercy on us. I just praise God that he just loves us. I praise God that he needs
to allow us the freedom to worship him. I just give him glory. I just give him honor. I just give him praise. And I want to thank you tonight for tuning in to the Light of Portland broadcast. We give glory and honor and praise to those that allow it to be possible for us to have this broadcast. We would not want to be without giving thanks to those that provided us with this platform. And so tonight I want to give honor to Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is the presiding prelate of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle and Light of the World Covenant Fellowship Ministries, who is the covering for this broadcast with the Butterfield, Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who are the assistant pastors of Light of the World, that provide us with this platform for us to be able to worship together with the Light of Portland broadcast. I'm so grateful to have you on the air listening with us tonight. We want to give honor to Pastor Kimberly Black, who is now the host of the Light of Portland broadcast. She is just an awesome woman of God. She is a woman that loves the Lord, that serves him fervently, that is without a shadow of a doubt just a woman of God. And so I am so grateful to be connected with her. I'm so grateful to have her as a sister and a co-laborer in this field of being on the battlefield for the Lord. And to all of you, and especially you, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We want to just say thank you so much for Minister Dante Farmer, who is one of the ministers at Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church. He is also our speaker for the hour tonight. And so we are just excited. Can you tell? I'm just excited. I'm just so excited to be with you tonight. So excited and so grateful for the presence of Holy Spirit and the Lord. I just want to let you all know that God is moving. God is doing something great. God is in control. Yes, there is COVID happening in the world. Yes, we are going through racial tensions. Yes, we are lots of us that are not working. Yes, there is turmoil here and there. And God still sits on the throne. Presence of the Lord is wherever you welcome him in. You are the temple of the living God. You are the church. And so wherever you are, if you're presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, he is present with you. He is in the midst with you. He is there welcoming and allowing you to move and be used by him if you made yourself readily available. And I don't know about you, saint of God. I want the Lord to use me. I want the Lord to stir me. I want the Lord to have his way in me. I want to hear, well done, well done, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the house of the Lord. And so tonight, saints of God, we have a word from the Lord tonight. We have a word on high from the Lord tonight. I don't know about any announcements tonight. I don't know about what's happening in the city. I don't know. All I know is if you want to hear a word of God, you can go on Facebook. There are churches and pastors and preachers that are preaching on Facebook, that are preaching on YouTube, that are setting the bar. There is an anointing that has been going forth throughout the country, throughout the world, because we are ready to go to the next level in God. We are ready to get to the place in the Lord where He just rests and abides within us. But you got to be a willing vessel, saint. So tonight, we are going to go to God in prayer. Then we are going to have a song. And then the next voice that you hear will be that of Minister Dante Farmer, who is of Greater St. Stephen's Missionary Baptist Church under the auspices of Pastor Kimberly Black. So let us pray. Great and Heavenly Father, we just exalt and magnify your holy name. We worship you. We give you praise, glory, and honor, for you are the Most High God. Lord God, we know that there are sick in this world. So we pray that you would be Jehovah Rapha, that you would go through the hedges and highways, Father. Go in and out the houses of the saints of God. Touch their bodies. Heal them, Lord, in the name of Christ Jesus. Father, we come before you tonight, Lord, because we know that you are the great I am. You are all that we could ever need, ask for, or hope for, and so much more that we could ever imagine. And so we come before your throne of grace, oh God, saying that we worship you, that we serve you, that we lift you up and magnify you. God, we praise you tonight. Father, we ask right now, Lord, that you would allow Holy Spirit to reign and rule, that you would allow him to have his way, that you would move by the Spirit of God. Lord, we are so grateful unto you. We praise and magnify your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, for being our Lord and Savior. We thank you for being our Father. We thank you for being the Prince of Peace. We thank you for being the Rose of Sharon. We for being the Lily of the Valley. We thank you, oh God, for the sacrifice of your Son. We thank you because we know that it had not been for you on our side, Lord, we have no idea where we would be. And so tonight, Lord God, we need a word from you. We desire a word from you, Father. We want, oh God, to be changed. We want to stir up the gift that dwells within us, oh God. We want to move by your power. We want to move by your might, oh God. We surrender our hearts, our minds, our souls, our body unto you, oh God. And we praise you right now, Father, for you are the lover of our soul. Be our shield and our buckler tonight, oh God. Give us hind feet, Father, that we may walk among high places. Cover and keep your children. Give us ears to hear, Father, eyes to see, oh God. Hands, oh God, and feet to move and do the will of you. We just thank you. Now we pray, oh God, for Elder Farmer tonight, oh God. We pray that you would bless him, oh God. Use him mightily tonight, Father. Put a word down on the inside and allow it to bubble up in the name of Christ Jesus. So, Lord, tonight we give you all glory. We give you all praise. We give you all honor, for you truly, Lord God, are worthy, worthy of all the glory and honor. We need you right now, O Lord. We need you right now, O Lord. We need you right now, O Lord. So have your way in us right now. We just thank you for being who you are. We just thank you and worship you. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray, Lord God. Here we are, Lord God, to give you praise. Thank you, Lord God.
Have you ever had a situation or circumstances where you felt like nobody cared? You felt all alone and even God wasn't there? Well, I did too, and here's what he told me.
When you felt all alone, lost your children and your home, I was there. months you cried, even thought of suicide. I was there, yeah. When you lost your mom and dad, you felt oh so sad. I was there. Through your storm and rain, sickness and your pain, I was there.
That's what the Lord told me.
No matter what you go to, man, what you're dealing with, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I'll be with you till the end of the world. So don't give up, don't give out. There's hope for you. Christ in you, He is the hope of glory.
Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank you, God. Pastor Sherelle, Pastor Black in the Light of Portland Cast, it is an honor, and I thank you for having me on at this hour. Oh, the text that I'll be reading from this evening will be coming from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Oh, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, may you just regulate my mind, regulate my heart. May you give me the words to speak, O Heavenly Father, that the words that you give me to speak may be a blessing to somebody, that they may be stirred up in their spirit, that they may be stirred up in their soul and their mind to rejoice and to serve you and to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. May God add a hearing, a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy word. Now, before we get into this, a little background leading into Paul's writings to the Philippians. So, what we know from Paul in the book of Acts, Paul was a persecutor of the church. This is when he was going by Saul. This is before his Damascus Road encounter. Saul was vicious because he believed that he was doing the right thing according to the law. He was a student of the law. He studied under the feet of Gamaliel, one of the top Pharisees, well respected. But until he had his Damascus Road experience and witnessed Christ Jesus himself, the resurrected Lord, and he got a taste of that grace, it transformed him into a mighty vessel of righteousness for the advancement of the kingdom. Paul's calling as an apostle, he had a duty to make sure that the gospel was preserved in order for the people to be taught right. So this leads us to the book of Philippians and why he was writing them, to encourage them. This is what this book was. Philippi is located in Macedonia, which was a major import city of, and at that particular time, it was ran under the Roman rule. So this is a major import city with a lot of people. Paul had no problem with going out on a mission to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But keep this in mind, when he was ravaging the church, those same ones he was running with, they was loving on Saul. They was praising him because they all thought, yeah, we doing the right thing. But until Paul woke up and his heart was changed, he realized that even at his best, he still was not perfect. And he had a duty to make sure that the gospel was preserved. So at this particular time, even in the time of Jesus, you had the religious leaders that was constantly in conflict and opposing everything that Jesus was doing. I taught on this morning when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was preparing his disciples for everything that he encountered, the sufferings, the rejection. Now that Paul understood what grace was, he was content serving the Lord because now he recognized what grace was. So he had a duty to make sure that God's people was trained up properly in who Jesus Christ was, is, and whoever will be. So he's telling them, watch out for the dogs. But who are these dogs that he's talking about that mutilate the flesh? He's talking about the Pharisees. Yeah, there was a debate that the only way that you could become a Christian is if you followed the law of Moses. Paul was in constant conflict defending the gospel. So he's telling them, okay, well, they're going around mutilating the flesh and putting all talking about that they're Jewish and that they're Hebrews, that they're children of Abraham. Well, let's play Big Bang, take Little Bang. So they're saying that they are Hebrews. Well, so am I. They're saying that they were circumcised on the eighth day. Well, so was I. I was a Pharisee, what he said. He said, according to the law, I was blameless. But he said he counted all that as rubbish because he had a one-on-one personal relationship with Christ Jesus. Now, let's keep this in mind about Paul's background. What we know about him is he was from the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Benjamin means son of my right hand. He was the brother of Joseph. They had the same mother, same father. This is who Joseph loved. But something happened in the book of Judges. You know, the Benjamites, they got a little wayward and everything, and they were considered the least out of all the 12 tribes. Keep this in mind. King Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. Keep this in mind. Mordecai in the book of Esther was from the tribe of Benjamin. Now it brings us to the Apostle Paul. Why do we talk about him being from the tribe of Benjamin? Because they were considered the least. But because of God's grace, he found that Paul was a useful vessel in order to continue the mission. God could take the least of things and make it perfect to bring shame to the wise. We were talking about that wisdom. You got to have the mind of Christ in order to receive that wisdom. And so this is what Paul is trying to describe to him. If we're going to talk about reputations, well, let's put it up there. But I'm a better one. But any reputation that I have, I count as nothing because of the sake of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, in order to share in his suffering by any means. God seen that he could use Paul because Paul was very, very influential. Keep this in mind. Yes, he was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was an Israelite. But he was born in Tarsus, which is in Syria. And at this particular time, keep this in mind, also, it was under Roman rule, so Paul had dual citizenship. What does that dual citizenship mean? That he was born according to the tribe in the lineage of Abraham as a rightful heir of the Jewish people, but he also was a Roman citizen, meaning that he had access into other areas. And no wonder why God called him to be have a ministry to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews. We hear a lot of time about how, oh, well, God doesn't address these issues of race. Yes, he does. He says he shows no partiality between Jews or Greeks, that we are all one in Christ Jesus. Sometimes God calls the people that he needs in order to go into places that can't nobody else go. But there ain't no place that God can't go. So why are we talking about Paul so much? Because Paul is giving us an example on what it means to be on the battlefield and on the front line for Christ Jesus. We hear about his many beatings. We hear about his many times that he had to be led out of the window because the king was looking for him, the governor was looking for him. He going on the run. Here it is, the ones that he once ran with, once used to go to the Passovers and used to go to the Feast of Booths, have fun with them, are the same ones that are now trying to kill them. That's representing who he believes in, Jesus Christ. Jesus went to his own and his own rejected him. I know there's some of us that be like, well, how is that relevant to me on what Paul went through? I'm glad you asked. We was talking about this the other day at church, how we could go to church and have fun in the church, but we ain't really going there seeking the person who we should be going there to go seek, Christ Jesus. This is what Paul was trying to tell them. Don't put no stock in the flesh. The things that you think that can get you to where you need to get to won't get you there. Paul's word says that the righteousness of God comes through faith in Christ Jesus, which mimics exactly what the lesson was this morning, that no one can go through the Father except through Jesus, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. So many people don't want to hear about grace because they're so conditioned to being trained by the law. But how can we profess the law when we don't even keep it and we break it continuously? The law perfected nothing, but the law was our guide to lead us to salvation so that at the appointed time when salvation comes, we may be children of God set free through faith in Christ Jesus. This was Paul's whole mission. This is very relevant to me because if we think about how Saul once was and how Saul then became, but really jumpstart that off with St. Stephen. The stoning of St. Stephen in Books chapter 8, which led to the introduction of the man we know now as Paul. Before the Damascus Road, he was stuck in the law. But once he realized who the Lord was and he tasted that grace, now he was under a new hope. And that's the hope that he is encouraging all to attain to. Why do we talk about St. Stephen and Paul and this new hope? The reason why it's relevant for me, because I was once like that Paul. The things that I used to do, thought that I was doing them right, but in all actuality, I was doing them wrong. But I realized I had to learn what the law was So therefore, once I tasted grace, I know that the Lord is more powerful. Let me say that again. I had to learn what the law was. That means I had to go through some things. I had to be in prison. I had to sit. But then when grace came, grace set me free. Yeah. I could talk about grace. I could talk about some of the things that Paul went through. Yeah, the ones I used to run with, yeah, they used to love on me and everything. Then when I changed, when I started preaching Jesus, the ones that truly loved me, they still rode with me. But then you had the other ones. You're talking about being on the battlefield. Yeah, this is this urban gospel. This is this urban ministry that we're talking about. Paul didn't have no perfect ministry. I'm going to say that again. Paul didn't have no perfect ministry. People think that perfect ministry has to do with you being financially stable. You know, you in the big building. You got all this. Nah. Paul had a ministry of suffering. But in Paul's ministry, Paul can rejoice. I remember somebody asked me, now that you've been changed, do you feel that you've been gave up anything? Do you feel that you're missing out? I quoted scripture to him. Yeah, I quoted this one right here. The things that I once thought that had glory in them, yeah, ain't got no glory in them. I count them as rubbish because of the surpassing glory of Christ Jesus, my Lord, that I know now. Yeah, we would go out to the yard, evangelize, get people to come on up there to the church house. Yeah, we was ministering with St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church down there at OSP. Yeah, see, I'm bringing it back together now. Yeah, I grew up in New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. Always been a son of the house. Hello. We come to Greater St. Stephen's because God sent me. The one that was considered the least in, the less than. But God poured out his grace. The example that Paul is showing us is that we are to go out to make sure that people are properly trained in who Jesus Christ is. Not what the religion is about, but what this faith is about. Just like we tell them how to cook a meal and we tell them how to get directions to go to the nearest movie or to the nearest supermarket, we should be giving them directions on how to represent Jesus properly out here wherever we go. We don't need no textbook on telling how Jesus is. If you know what your significant other likes to wear, and you could go pick up them sizes, or you could go out there to the McDonald's and you know exactly what their order is, you should be able to tell them about Jesus. You should be able to tell them where to find him. Give them his GPS coordinates. That's what Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about living the word. Gives no confidence and no glorification in the flesh, because the flesh brings forth death, but the life brings forth spirit. He's saying rejoice. He's talking about rejoicing in the spirit in all situations and trials. Continue to go when they knock you down and tell them Jesus loves you anyway. If we so quick to cuss people out, we should be telling them that Jesus loves them anyway with the same authority and the same tone. We can't be scared of what God once brought us from. If you used to rip and run the streets, go back out there into the streets and tell them that Jesus loves them. Lace them up right, so therefore they know that there's another way. Yeah, now that we got that godly wisdom from above and not from below, we can show them differently. Yeah, sometimes people look at us funny because they're trying to figure out how to deal with us now because they don't know how to deal with us because we got the Spirit ministering to us, and so therefore we know how to deal with them. We deal with them with love. We deal with them with the grace of God. We testify to them and tell them that we love them, and we stand firm and we don't hold back. This is the ministry that Paul is talking about in Philippians, about the righteousness through faith in Christ Jesus. No one is right before God, and no one could go to God and boast. But the only way to him is through Christ Jesus, and we boast in the Lord and we boast in the Spirit. God is telling us to wake up and quit being comfortable. Don't worry about the dogs that's out there. Don't worry about the evildoers that's out there. Don't worry about what they're talking about. Let your faith by your works show them who it is that you represent. We shouldn't be scared to go around and tell them that we love Jesus and who he is and not being ashamed. If we can act a fool for the wrong reasons, we definitely can act a fool for Christ Jesus. Now, we wasn't quiet when we was up there in them clubs and everything acting a fool, so we could go ahead and tell them who Jesus is with the same authority and with the same enthusiasm, rejoicing. God is calling his people to wake, calling his people to wake up. Quit worried about what's going on out there. Just get out there because the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Get out there and be about your Father's business. That's what he's calling on us to do, not worrying about with this other person with the, because they got this old lofty church or because they got this big car or whatever. He's like, you do what I tell you to do. That's what he told Peter. He said, don't worry about him. You focus on what I told you. But we have to do it things decent and in order. And that's what Paul's whole mission was to make sure that those in who he brought the gospel to by preaching to them, they were trained and equipped properly to defend the gospel when people tried to get them to deny it and do things else. That is who God is calling us to be, is people who worship him in spirit and in truth. He's calling us to count the things that came before him as rubbish. Because if we're glorifying him, that means that we're idolizing. And God will not be a God who takes that kindly. Paul says that in his word, that God will not be mocked. It says it in his word, put no one else or put no other things before me. This should be our mission as a church. To make sure that we tell them, watch out. Make sure that the word that is being taught to you is done in spirit and in truth. Paul has given us an example that God can use the least of people in order to bring about his mighty works. But it's only done in faith, righteousness, and in truth. Pastor Sherrill, pass the line back over to you. Thank you.
Worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, giving the Lord your all, being on fire for the Lord just like you were on fire for the saints and the world, knowing that the same people that you hung with, and the same place you hung with around is the same place that the Lord will send you back to. But we've got to get on fire for the Lord. We've got to be about our Father's business. Thank you so very much for the word of God tonight, Elder Farmer. We appreciate you so much. And I want you to go ahead and pray for the people of God tonight, Elder Farmer. I need you to pray, because we've got to have a fervency for the Lord. We've got to see what it is that he has called us for, that he's raised us up to do. And we've got to get on that battlefield for the Lord. So I want you to pray for the saints of God that are on the line tonight, and pray that they would get to the place that they would allow the Lord to use them. Amen.
Amen, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. Oh, Heavenly Father, come before you with bended knee. Oh, Heavenly Father, those who are on this line, oh, Heavenly Father, and may they listen, oh, Heavenly Father, to the spirit that is speaking to them, oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, may you wake your people up, oh, Heavenly Father, to go out into the byways and highways. Oh, Heavenly Father, may you bless us with the head of protection, bless us with wisdom, oh, Heavenly Father. Help us, oh, Heavenly Father, to continue to rejoice in suffering. Help us, oh, Heavenly Father, watch out for the dogs and the evildoers, oh, Heavenly Father. Help us stand for you, oh, Heavenly Father. Help us stand in the gap, oh, Heavenly Father, for those who need intercession, oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, your word says that you hear the prayers of the righteous. Oh, Heavenly Father, by faith we pray. By faith we come to you, oh, Heavenly Father. By faith, oh Heavenly Father, we know that you are listening. By faith, oh Heavenly Father, we know that you are a healer. By faith, oh Heavenly Father, we know that you are a provider. Provide the spiritual gifts that are needed, oh Heavenly Father, and may you equip your saints, oh Heavenly Father, to go and get on the battlefield and to stand on the front line, oh Heavenly Father, and to defend your word, oh Heavenly Father. Guide us, oh Heavenly Father, as one, oh Heavenly Father. Lead us back to the church, oh Heavenly Father, that you have called us to be. May you receive these prayers, oh Heavenly Father, that we lift up to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, Elder Farmer. Thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you to all of you that have tuned in to the Light of Portland broadcast. We want you to tell a neighbor, tell a friend, tell a family member about the Light of Portland broadcast. Let them know that we are here every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we want to make a difference. We want to impact the world. We want to let them know that the Lord God reigns, rules, that Jesus sits on the throne, and that he loves you regardless of who you are or what you've done. And so we want you to invite somebody to join us on Sunday, next Sunday evening, as we bring the word of God to the people of God in need of the word of God. And we invite you out to begin our book club. We have a virtual book club, and we are reading Christian books, and we are reading the books by authors, and we want to invite you to a club that we have every second Saturday, and we'll bring you more information about that. We want you to get the book, The Shack. We will start reading The Shack this month, and we will have a book club in 2 weeks. So go get the book, The Shack, and start reading it, and we'll give you more information on how to join the club. And there is a new audio book app, the new audio app created by people of color, and it is called LIT, L-I-T, LIT. And so we want you to get that, download that app, and start reading the books and start supporting your people of color. So we pray tonight that the Lord has blessed you. We pray that the Lord will keep you. We pray that the Lord will make his face to shine upon you, lifting his countenance unto you and giving you both peace and prosperity, both now and forevermore. Thank you so very much for tuning in to the Light of Portland broadcast. Thank you, Elder Farmer, for the word of God. We pray that the Lord will bless and pour back into you all that you've poured out to the saints of God. And to the saints of God, we thank and praise you for tuning in, and we pray that you would be blessed, and we'll see you next Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Until then, we love you so much, and there's nothing you can do about it. Be blessed. Good night.